Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a
not
song
wake up
for
though.
You.
No wake up.
From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show.
Oh, yeah.
Start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly. Let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning. Let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday. Wake up. Everything's all right.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. We got ourselves a Weird Wednesday. Not so much a wake up, but we do got ourselves a Weird Wednesday. I hope you guys are doing well here. On November 6, 2024. I almost said 14. We're going in the time machine today, so it's going way back there. But no, it is Wednesday, November 6th, 2024. It is a day that has... Let me turn the music up a little bit here. I went quiet there too fast. I went quiet too fast. I needed that little smooth let me down. I hope everybody's doing well here on Wednesday. I wish I could do the Weird Wednesday in the morning more for you, but, schedules don't always permit that. So here we are in the afternoon / evening. On Wednesday, though, I was considering going live tomorrow morning and saying, it is what it is. But my wife came and picked up my son from the office, and she is taking him to martial arts this evening, so that I can be here with you. So, hi. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks, friends. I've been running around all over God's creation, doing events, speaking at different conferences and vending at different festivals. And I'm back. And it was a good time. Last week, I couldn't go. I forget all the things I've done in the past, I don't know, like the last 3 months. I mean, in August, my wife informed me that I was gone for 18 days in August. And then I started off September away for 8 days in Utah. So I can't remember everywhere I've been. Been around the world, friends. But I was last week. I didn't have to leave the state last week. I was in Nashville for BlurryCon. That's why I couldn't be here, because I was traveling on Wednesday and getting things together to leave town. And BlurryCon was on Thursday and Friday last week, and it was a sold-out house for both days. And I'll tell you what, friends. I think that the Blurry Creatures podcast, quite honestly, puts on a better show, a better live show than I'm drawing a blank. Like, I can't think of a time that I've been to any event ever, anywhere in the podcast game, in this cryptid paranormal world, any venue, any event, any conference, any festival that put on a better show than Blurry Creatures at BlurryCon 2 years straight. I kid you not. I get no commission off of ticket sales. I'm telling you, just out of the honest to God goodness out of my heart, BlurryCon is a must go to event. And I think that y'all need to start listening to Blurry Creatures if you don't already, so that when these events happen, you can pop in and get those tickets before they sell out, because this year the event sold out in, I think they said 24 hours or 48 hours. So, you know, I'll tell you guys, it was a fantastic time. It was a fantastic time. And a lot of people were there that, you know, like last year I went to BlurryCon and, you know, people knew who I was, you know. But this year, it was just different. It was just a different energy. Like, I don't know. Like, the love and support that I got from people at BlurryCon this year blew me away. It blew me away. So everybody who maybe attended BlurryCon and is listening or watching this right now, thank you very much for all the love and support that you showed me last week. And I wasn't even the main attraction. The Blurry Boys were. But it was just a really good time. And I wanted to just kind of take a second and just acknowledge that, because, you know, we can get bogged down with everything that we do. And, you know, as I was saying in the pre-show here about touching grass, well, it's kind of in a sense touching grass when we get to go to these events and make eye contact with the listeners. It's a very special experience. And I can't think of one experience that is more special than the experiences I've had at BlurryCon. So thank very much for everybody who showed up. Thank you very much for the Blurry Boys for welcoming me. We're in the beginning of the show and I can't even talk, friends. Anyways, thanks very much. BlurryCon was awesome, friends. This episode is brought to you by Merc Merch. Get your Merc Merch. Get your Merc Merch. Right there, man. I'll tell you, Alien Tactical, the charcoal t-shirt. This is the new design I've been talking about. I love it. So this is the design on the back. You got the big alien with the nods on, night vision. And then on the front is the logo on the chest pocket. So new design. And we are going to be coming out with a hoodie very soon. I am gathering the funds for it to invest in the hoodie, but I should be stocking the shelves with a hoodie fairly soon, in time for Christmas for sure. And the biggest selling t-shirt that I have is the Always on the Hunt. So that is by far the most popular design. This one right here, I have it in black and olive. And the light olive is by far the fan favorite. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this on a hoodie for y'all, for my first hoodie. Instead of taking a shot in the dark, because hoodies are expensive to produce. Instead of taking a shot in the dark as to what you guys will like for the first hoodie, I know you'll like this design. So we are going to do Always on the Hunt for the first hoodie. This is the Always on the Hunt in black, but I don't know what color we're going to do it in yet, to be honest with you. I don't know. Probably not olive, probably not black. I don't know. We'll see. Let me know what you think. What do you think? What color should we do it on? We're definitely going to do that though. So this episode is brought to you by MercMerch.com. You can get your Merc Merch at MercMerch.com. Thanks very much for everybody who's been purchasing the swag. It's been awesome to see people getting that good stuff. And the more people enjoy it and purchase, the more I can produce more designs for you guys and make this world go round for everybody. So I am trying my best over here to conduct myself in a professional manner and have a business that operates smoothly, smooth as possible. So, friends, let's get into it. We have some things to talk about. And I know technically this is late to the party because everybody started talking about it right away. I understand. It's a lot to talk about. But I just didn't want to go and just rattle off about it at random. I wanted to wait till I was ready to talk about it. Unfortunately, I'm a little late now, but it is what it is. Tucker Carlson. Last week, I think it was on Thursday or Friday. I know I was in Nashville, and I think I woke up, and one of the first things I saw was a video that we'll play here in a second for you of Tucker Carlson talking about being attacked by a demonic entity. And this stuff is becoming more and more talked about by people that if you're my age or older, you really wouldn't have grown up thinking that people of this kind of quote unquote stature in society, notoriety maybe is the better word, would have these experiences or have them and talk about them. This is a very new thing. And I think that it is just beginning. We are going to start having more and more people like this coming out and talking about it because it's no longer taboo. And the more people get the memo that it's no longer taboo, they will talk about it. And it's gonna become a thing where eventually it might even be getting there already. Maybe not for you or I, but people who aren't really into the topics to begin with, hardcore. They're going to start glossing over it, I think. And they're going to be like, okay, bro, cool story. Been there, done that, heard it before, all that stuff. But we shouldn't gloss over it. This stuff is going to be only getting more and more powerful as time goes on. So I think we just need to kind of take it in and understand it and digest it while it is available to be digested. Here it is. This is a trailer for a documentary that is going to be coming out called Christianities. I've been talking to the director of Christianities, and he and I briefly, no dates set, but we have discussed him and I connecting and just discussing the documentary. We didn't even discuss the idea of doing it on air. We just kind of, without giving all the details away, we just kind of briefly discussed getting together in the new year and just having a good conversation. So maybe you can look forward to that if it makes it an episode, but I don't know if we're actually planning on sitting down behind microphones as much as I might just take him out to dinner and have a conversation. But he is still looking to fund this documentary. This is a documentary that's still active in the funding. And so if you go to christianitiesmovie.com, I believe it is, that's just off the top of my dome. Let me just make sure that's actually the website. It is christianitiesmovie.com. Man, am I good. You know, like, geez, I haven't looked at that thing in like, I don't know, a week. And I remember that website. I'm hearing like a little mic noise. That's going to annoy me. We'll fix that later. Anyways, back to the topic at hand. Let's watch this trailer. It's not even a trailer. It's a segment from what they shot with Tucker Carlson talking about being attacked by demonic entities. I'm going to hit play on this and hopefully you can hear it.
Do you think the presence of evil is kickstarting people to wonder about the good?
That's what happened to me.
That's what happened to you?
Oh, yeah. I had a direct experience with it.
In the milieu of journalism or just?
Nope. In my bed at night. And I got attacked while I was asleep with my wife and four dogs in the bed and mauled. Physically mauled.
In a spiritual attack by a demon?
Yeah, by a demon. or by something unseen that left.
Is that right?
Claw marks on my sides, on my.
So they left physical marks.
Oh, they're still there. Yeah, yeah. A year and a half ago.
Was your wife terrified? I know you were.
I wasn't. I was totally confused. I woke up and I was couldn't breathe and I thought I was going to suffocate. And I walked around outside and then I walked in and my wife and dogs had not woken up and they're very light sleepers. And then I had these terrible pains on my rib cage and on my shoulder. And I was just in my boxer shorts and I went and flipped on the light in the bathroom and I had four claw marks on either side underneath my arms and on my left shoulder. And they're bleeding.
Wait, they were bleeding?
They're bleeding, yeah. No, actual claw marks. And I sleep on my side, so I wasn't clawing myself. I don't have long nails. And they didn't fit my hands anyway. But yeah, that happened. So I'm not from a world where things like that happen. I never heard of anything like that happening before. I had no idea what that was. I knew it was spiritual immediately.
You did? Okay, that was going to be my question.
Yeah. I don't understand to this day. I'm not going
to
put it...
You didn't try to refute the spiritual part in your own mind. You went right into the...
Well, it didn't make any sense, and right. It doesn't now. But I'm not from a, what do they call it, faith tradition
right. That...
Talks about things like that or even acknowledges their existence. Like there's nothing like that. I've never heard anybody say anything like that in my whole life.
What was the next day like?
Well, the next morning I woke up and I thought that was the weirdest dream I've ever had. And then I saw blood on my sheets and I realized that was not a dream at all. So I called my assistant, who was like the only evangelical Christian I know, you know, well enough to call with something bizarre like that, totally bizarre like that. And she said, oh yeah, no, that happens. Yeah, people are attacked in their bed by demons. What? What are you even talking about? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not leaving anything out and I'm not pretending to understand that. I can only say what happened to me and that did happen to me. And then I was seized with this very intense desire to read the Bible, which I then started without any study aids or anything. I bought a Bible that didn't have any. I'm not interested in editorializing in the Bible. I just want to read it and see what's in there myself. I have very low levels of trust for Christian pastors, most of whom, you know, I'm just not a fan at all. And sorry to say that, but that's how I feel. And so I don't want to hear other people's opinions. I just want to see what's in there. And I spent a year and a half reading it and then I started rereading it. And it was just a transformative experience for me, but I'm not, you know, holding myself out as someone from whom you could get theological advice because I'm
sure,
not.
Of course, of course.
I don't know. I don't understand any of it. But yeah, that happened.
God allowed the demon?
I have no idea what happened. All I know is I was dead asleep with my wife and dogs, and I woke up with claw marks on my rib cage underneath my arms. And it didn't even make sense. My arms would, anyway, whatever. I'm not, no one has to believe me. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
But that happened to me. And so I just was like, wow, that's real, whatever that is. I'm even not sure what it is.
It's very real. And so then that presence of that evil launches something.
There it is. Christianitiesmovie.com. I noticed that the video is lagging there. So I'm going to start trying to move some of these links of videos over to the desktop to see if that helps at all. Maybe I need to empty my laptop. Maybe the storage is getting a little bonkers. So I apologize if it wasn't as smooth as it should be, but definitely, hopefully you heard it. And, you know, what do you guys think? If you're on YouTube, I didn't get a chance to put the link in Facebook or Rumble today, but if you are on YouTube and you're watching right now and you want to join in the conversation and share your thought and opinion, in the description is a link that you can hit and join me on video. Don't be shy. I welcome everybody to hop on with me and, share your thoughts on it. Now, my thoughts are that I think this is going to start happening more and more. I think eventually you're going to start seeing more and more prominent people that you never thought would come out and talk like this, people who maybe right now say that there is no God, there is no other side of things, there is no other realm, and they're going to start coming out and sharing their experiences. And what do you do with that? What do you do with that? You know, we've been looking into this stuff for a very long time. And for the longest time, you know, I think we've all been kind of conditioned to the idea that we're the crazy kids in the corner that nobody believes. And we got comfortable with that. We got comfortable with that. We don't really know what to do with this newfound attention. You know, all of a sudden, people are looking in our corner, looking at us and asking us for our opinion on things that we talk about. We're supposed to be the social rejects. Yet here we are. Here we are. Very, very prominent people in our culture and society are starting to come out and talk about their attacks with the demonic realm, with their encounters with UFOs, with their interactions with God. All of a sudden, our culture and society is turning into a theistic society. Why? Why are we all of a sudden as a culture and society starting to look at things through a spiritual lens? My entire life, it hasn't been like that. You know, I was taught growing up the scientific viewpoint and worldview, and in grade school, it was just it was what it was. The idea that there could be a spiritual significance to creation and the things happening around us was not discussed. But here we are. And I have a feeling it's going to continue to go down that road. We've seen it throughout my life. We have seen it. We've seen people sell their soul to Satan, and they talk about it, and we've been conditioned to say, oh, they're just kidding. They're not serious, because certainly they don't believe that Satan exists. But now that we're starting to turn a corner, and the people who used to think that was ridiculous and think that people who would say such things were doing it just to get headlines and just goof around, now those people are starting to have their spiritual experiences, and it's giving us pause, because now we're just not the crazy kids in the corner. Welcome to the stage, friends. Are you ready for the main act? I am trying to prepare and be ready for such a time as this. I'm working on sitting down with a very prominent person in our world. Many people, if not all people that are listening to me, know who this person is or have heard of them. And our first sit down will be just together, again, probably out to dinner or something to break bread. I want the person to understand where I'm coming from, my heart in it. But this person has been getting exposed to a lot of people and their opinions and perspectives on what this reality, UFO phenomena, interdimensional existence is. And I know some of the people that they're talking to, and I don't know if it's the most healthy thing. So I reached out, and we're going to be sitting down to talk just to offer another perspective on things. It's always good to have options. It's always good to hear other people's opinions and thoughts on topics that you think you know about. So that's what we're going to be doing. And if the relationship blossoms and if it goes well, maybe we'll bring them in studio for an interview, but I don't want to jump the gun. My main reason for reaching out was to offer perspective as somebody who has talked to hundreds of people on these kind of topics, and gaining my perspective through people's experiences. I have a unique perspective and message to share, I believe, because it's not based off of my singular encounter or experience with something. It is my experience and encounter with hundreds of people who have all had their own experience and encounters. So I'm going to bring the Rolodex. I'm going to bring the search engine of weird to the table, and we'll see what happens. But stay tuned for that. I'm hoping that the conversation goes well. I could have done it on the phone, but I don't think my heart would be relayed as well just over the phone. So we're going to be scheduling a time to sit down and have a heart to heart. So what do you guys think? You think Tucker Carlson was attacked by a demon, or do you think he had a bad dream and started scratching himself like a wild dog, like a dog man? You know, we had Hunter on for what, episode 510, I think it was. And he had that dream of the dog man. And he woke up with cuts and scratches all over his back after the thing attacked him in his dream. And you could easily say that Hunter had a bad dream and he clawed himself awake until that dog man appears before Hunter about a month later in the woods with his 11-year-old son and escorts him out of the woods. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? I do not know. But listen, we have a new person on the watch. Somebody who I have never heard of before. Many of you may have heard of this person, but I've never heard of this person. And this story is pretty interesting. And I will tell you that this person that I will be talking about here, I reached out to. Let me check my email to see if I got a response yet. We've been talking, and he is unable to come on my show right now for personal reasons. And nope, no reply. And I hit him up today again just to let him know I was going to be talking about his story, and told him if the opportunity ever strikes, I'd love to have him on the show. But today we're going to talk about a man named Cliff High. How many people have heard of Cliff High? Apparently, he's been around a long time. And, you know, this guy, I'm trying to think of how I'm going to relay this story for you. In the early 2000s, and I'm going to play some videos here too, so that maybe some people can explain it to you better than I could maybe, but since it's my show, I'll give it a crack. What do you say? In the early 2000s, Cliff High, or in that time frame, he developed a method, a practice, possibly a technology. He developed something that it scoured the internet, and it would take people's comments and blog posts, and it would analyze the emotion behind that post, that comment. And it went into some kind of math equation, and it would give future predictions. Where's my notes at? It would give future predictions, and these future predictions come in pairs almost. There's a precursor event, and then there's the main event, I'd say. The precursor event is something that is going to happen that marks the initiation of a future event. And in 2009, Cliff was doing this, and it has something to do with remote viewing as well. I haven't got a whole a good grasp on that. I watched about 3 to 4 hours, probably. No, that's a lie, actually. I watched about an hour and 40 minutes-ish of Cliff talking about this stuff, this situation. And to be honest with you, very hard to follow. He's a very, very smart person, so it's not his fault that he's hard to follow. It's my fault because I'm a bit brain dead compared to Cliff High. He's like a 70-year-old man-ish, and he looks great for his age. Sharp as a tack. Sharp as a tack. All right, we're going to let that one go. And he talks about, in 2009, he ran this equation, or this, whatever this is, these bots scouring the internet, and it kicked back a result, a precursor event. And that precursor event came back as a Rogan Trump interview on a TV show of some kind. And this is where I feel like the remote viewing comes in, because there is a sketch of it. And I think he's the one who sketched it. And if you think back to 2009, Rogan definitely had his show, but it was in his basement, you know, having friends come over. I think Bobo from Finding Bigfoot was on Rogan when Rogan was operating out of his house's basement. Needless to say, it was not the show it is today. And the picture that was sketched was Trump sitting on the right side and Rogan sitting on the left side, the wide view of the studio like we see at times during the broadcast. Trump's in a suit, Rogan's sitting there at the table. It is a sketch of the interview. And this was predicted back in 2009 as a precursor event, a timestamp of something to start. It was a, it's the beginning of an initiation, something being initiated into full-blown activity. And by Cliff's understanding, he I'm trying to remember how he said it during his broadcast, because he didn't feel, I don't think he's the one who felt comfortable saying this number. I think it was his partner, the guy who did a remote view for him. But 39 days is the topic, or not the topic, the number of conversation here, because the precursor event of the Trump-Rogan interview, 39 days after that interview, there's supposed to be some kind of UFO battle in the skies. This is predicted in 2009, before they were talking about UFOs in the government, before it was cool to talk about, and we were just the kids in the corner talking about weird things that nobody wanted to hear about. And now we're center stage. So in 2009, this prediction of the Trump-Rogan interview, and then once that happens, 39 days later, or around 39 days later, and I think Cliff is the one who was not sold on saying that number as the timeline, but I think it was his partner, who we'll get to in a few minutes here, that was more of a fan of that. I could be misspeaking, but there's supposed to be this intergalactic, interdimensional, however you want to look at it, war or battle in the sky of UFOs fighting UFOs, and also human technology like planes involved as well. So from what I gather, there is going to be some kind of, I think the common perspective on this is that there's a trio going on here. There's a three-way battle. There's the UFOs versus the UFOs. Then the humans are fighting the UFOs, and maybe the UFOs are fighting the humans too. And it's just like, you know, this three-way triangle battle thing going on in the sky. And if you do the numbers, I mean, 39 days left, 39 days later, we would have it around the beginning of December. So you're saying probably about what, December 2nd or 3rd? I think the interview dropped on the 29th. Where was I that day? I remember that dropping the 29th. What was I doing? That was a day that I don't remember. I just remember, I think it's the 29th, if I remember correctly. It was a Friday. So was it the 29th? It doesn't matter. The numbers take us to about the beginning of December. We can expect, according to this number, some kind of intergalactic battle, interdimensional battle of the skies. So that is my understanding of this. And we're going to dive into some people who maybe are more familiar with Cliff himself, Cliff's friend, and we're going to let them speak as well. But I have to get these links off this laptop and move them to the desktop if this one video works. If this video works better for me, we're going to move everything to the desktop, because I think the laptop is getting a little bogged down. When I do these broadcasts, I usually use two computers for them. To save on, what would it be, CPU? And usually the laptop's the one that's golden. Maybe I should restart it sometime. I haven't done that in a few weeks. Share screen. There we go. All right. Let's check this out. Oh, you can't hear that. Hang on a second. Let me unmute. What we got here?
This is so wild. So this man called Cliff Hyre developed a software program over 20 years ago that scanned the entire internet and analyzed thematic patterns and language that people were using all over the world to predict the future. Cliff Hyre believed in our individual subconscious intuition, but he also believed in our interconnected consciousness that we all draw from whether we're aware of it or not. So using a technique that he called predictive linguistics, he wrote a program that was able to analyze all the keywords and phrases and thematic patterns and assigned them an emotional value. It then uses a formula to gauge our emotional tensions and write a report on events that will happen in the future. Now, these predictions all came with a precondition that Cliff called temporal markers. And that's kind of like a precursor event, like a trigger event that has to happen before the prediction will come true. So the prediction will not happen until or unless the temporal marker or the trigger event happens first. So what did this program predict? Way back in 2009, this is crazy, honestly. The software program reported of a battle in our skies that got chaotic and out of hand between military jets and UFOs, and also, interestingly, UFOs against other UFOs. And this would mark the beginning of an era where non-human intelligence became a part of our everyday reality. And this was all to take place roughly 39 days after the trigger event happened, so after that temporal marker event. And that temporal marker event was Donald Trump being interviewed by Joe Rogan, which just happened the other day and is already the biggest podcast of all time. But let me explain why this is so wild. In 2009, when this prediction was made, Joe Rogan was far from being a household name like he is today. His podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, had its very first episode in December 2009. And back then, it was literally just Joe and a couple of his mates on their webcams in their lounge room. He had hosted Fear Factor, and he was the commentator for the UFC back then, but even then, the UFC was way smaller than what it is today. And Donald Trump being the president was not even in the conversation. In 2009, he was just a real estate mogul and the guy from The Apprentice. This kind of prediction back then was so far out of left field that it was hardly given any further thought by Cliff himself. And now, in 2024, President Donald Trump has just been on the Joe Rogan Experience, the biggest podcast in the world. And at the same time, we have so many military whistleblowers, Harvard lawyers, Stanford scientists, all coming out and saying UFOs and non-human intelligence are very real, and that we, the public, need to be made aware of this before it's potentially catastrophically forced upon us. The world is so crazy right now.
Wow. Okay, so what do you guys think about that? You call BS, or are you digging what the feller here on TikTok is dishing? Listen, I thought that this was going to be easily looked into and be like, oh, Cliff doesn't even exist. I found Cliff. He does exist. He's been around a long time, and he's been talking about this stuff for a real long time. And he, like I said before, he is so smart. He's a super smart person, highly intelligent. And I really want to talk to the guy. I told him today, I said, listen, man, like, I'm going to be talking about you today on the show, and I'm not going to be able to do it justice. So anytime that you feel like you could talk to me, even if it's at midnight, I'll come into the studio and we'll hammer something out. So I'm really hopeful that one day I get a chance to talk to Cliff Hyre, because man, that's some wild stuff. And so Cliff, and now these next clips here I'm going to share with you guys are different people that are involved with this story in one way or another. I'm just trying to find my text messages here now so I can pull up these stupid links. There we go. All right. So this next one here, let me pull this up. All right, cool. So this next one here is this guy here did the remote view for Cliff Hyre. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. His name's Dick Alger, A-L-L-G-I-R-E. And he is, I guess, the one that remote viewed the Rogan-Trump interview. So we're going to hear from him because They did two conversations. Both of them are about 20 minutes long. We're not going to go through that. But the very beginning of the part two kind of lays some groundwork that they didn't do in the first one that I feel is important for you guys to maybe hear from Dick as well on how this all kind of works. So pull up the screen share again. There we go. Cool. Let me put this over there. And we're going to have a commercial, right? Yeah, of course we are.
With Leah Thomas is
Today we are giving away Man. These beautiful Trump Fighting for America gold coins absolutely free.
There we go.
Other crypto fans, Dick Allgaier here. This segment is going to be part two of my conversation with Cliff High talking about Joe Rogan and Donald Trump appearing on the Joe Rogan Show, something we remote viewed and published several months ago. We need to preface this. I need to explain something which we didn't really talk about in part one. Cliff High is probably, well, undoubtedly one of the most brilliant people I know. He's a computer programmer and several decades ago came upon an interesting discovery. He found that humanity has a sort of collective unconsciousness, a collective consciousness. And people can subconsciously, without knowing it, predict the future. And they, in fact, do so in their everyday interactions. And he found that people, when they discuss things on the internet in various forms, they could be talking about their favorite guitar. They could be talking about their garden club. They could be talking about cars. They could be talking about politics, religion, any number of things. And Cliff High designed and unleashed what he calls web bots to go out and scour the internet to pull the lexicon of basic conversation that people were having. And he would analyze that and found that it would predict major events. I know that's a mouthful, but it really is. Cliff can explain this better than I, and there are better explanations posted on the internet. But Cliff, in 2009, this was over a decade ago, started getting data about some type of new kind of television show. The word podcast wasn't widely in use at that time. So he knew it was some kind of interview or talk show, but he didn't know exactly what kind. And he knew there was going to be a significant marker involving someone having one of these new kind of talk shows. It turned out it was Joe Rogan. We were tasked earlier this summer to take a look at this. We did it blind, and we got some interesting data. So what does that mean about sci-fi world? Where are we going? That's what we're talking about with Cliff today.
This is, I got to talk to one of these guys. I reached out to Dick as well. I haven't heard back. This is a phrase that has been popping up a lot in these videos, sci-fi world. I think it's a phrase that Cliff uses pretty heavily. And he's even been posting on social media about the reality of sci-fi world rising and how we need to be ready to explain what's going on to the normies. Cliff sounds like my kind of guy, you know? Like, he sounds like my kind of guy. He goes straight woo-woo and is unashamed by it. I love it. So that was Dick trying to explain this whole process with us. And I'm glad that he even said that, because he's like, Cliff would be able to explain it better than I could. And they're buddies. So I don't feel as bad not being able to explain exactly what this is all about. And listen, like I said, I watched a lot of stuff with Cliff, and man, like, he's one of those guys that just, I'm just trying to catch everything that's flying over my head. Just give me a little bit of it. Trying to retain just a little bit, man. Slow down. And in the one video that he started, he started out talking about the complexity of this stuff. And I forget how he said it, But basically he was saying, it made me feel like he was saying, if you don't understand, it's because you're stupid. And I was like, oh, I'm a moron. I mean, I know I'm a moron, but you don't got to tell me like that. You got to give it to me gently, man. Jeez. So, I don't know, guys. I mean, hopefully one day we can get this guy on, because it would be a fantastic conversation for what we can grasp of it. And maybe you guys would understand it more than I would. Maybe you guys would get it and be like, Tony, it's easy. It's simple. I get the concept, you know, I understand that, but I'm just trying to, I don't know. He uses big words. I think he's like a former scientist or something. He uses big words like that I've never heard of before. And I'm just trying to make it to the finish line. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to make it to the finish line. I'm not trying to win the race here. Just trying to get to the finish line and see what the big picture is, you know? Anyways, so let me go to this next link here. And yes, cool. All right. Let me pull that over there. This next link here is, so I've heard Cliff talk about this sci-fi world several times. He's mentioned sci-fi world many times. And in this video, what you're about to see is actually the sketch that I was talking about. And the host of this conversation asked him to kind of define what sci-fi world is. And I thought it'd be good. More for me than you, self-serving over here, just trying to learn and understand in front of everybody. So let's do this together, friends. Let's go on this magical journey, hearing the man himself talk. You should be able to see that. There we go. Very good. Very, very good. Let's get through these commercials. Even though Born Primitive brand, I just ordered shoes from them today because I liked what I saw. Why can't I hear anything? What happened? Is there volume? We'll find out in a second. What is going on? Why does it keep playing this? This is actually not my fault.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jean-Claude Beyond Mystic, and welcome to this.
There we go. It was like three commercials of no audio. Same commercial three times. What is going on back there? What is going on back there? Okay, let me find this timestamp here. Where are we at? About 3:58-ish. Let me pull that up.
This push to drink bottle gives you more energy.
Commercials.
It also helps you fight disease and aging.
Kill him.
Watch this video.
Everywhere, right?
Right. Before we go too far, too, we kind of spoke about this with Penny Killing on the show last week, and she says, what does Cliff mean by sci-fi world? I was apparently way too far down into the ramifications of that split in that timeline or that demarcation, but explain to you what that demarcation actually means, Cliff.
Well, okay, so it's evolved over time, okay, because initially sci-fi world back in 2009 was just like, oh, flying cars, you know, houses in the sky, Jetson kind of stuff, right? Now it's
industrial really, revolution, kind of renaissance, correct, innovation, correct, boom, correct. All that stuff. Yeah.
All of that kind of stuff. However, now what I'm thinking it really does mark is the cessation of the old grit model that dominates physics and going into the ontological model.
I have no idea.
The kind of physics that the UFOs use, okay? Because you have to understand, this is like, this would be like everybody on the planet using water wheels to grind all their food and all of this kind of stuff, and also water wheels that powered belted roads, okay? And you'd have big belts, you'd stand on the belt, and the water wheel would power the, you know, somewhere a distant water wheel would get power, and this road would move you, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a particular kind of a paradigm. And it's like you've lived all your life in that paradigm, and then one day the water wheels go away. And you suddenly have cars and roads that don't move, but you move on the road. So you see, there's a different kind of a thing, right? If the road is like a basic conveyor belt underneath you, you're going to have a different kind of a paradigm about reality than if you're driving a car and you're self-motivating and so on. This is exactly the kind of analogy that we face now, because we're coming into a schism in our own minds based on this new physics that's going to be coming on out, because everything changes with this new physics. It's not simply that you can travel out of time, right? from point A to point B in just a flash. It's not merely that. It is everything that allows that is an entirely different paradigm than humans have ever had to live with, or excuse me, than humans have lived with since this Kali Yuga. And since the 1700s, we've been dominated by Einsteinian grit model, gradually taking over and getting rid of Tesla, getting rid of all of Leclerc Maxwell and the, you know, all of this kind of stuff in the 1800s where they knew they were dealing with ether, right?
Yeah.
And Boscovich, all of these people. So a huge amount of our history died in order to get Einstein in the grip model with relativity and special relativity accepted. And then it's gone nowhere. We've got 100 years of dead space with little tiny incremental improvements and stuff. And the only reason we have the technology we have now is because they used radar created with tubes, vacuum tube radar, to shoot down UFOs, and then they found digital circuit boards, Velcro, network fibers, fiber optics, all of this kind of stuff. And so that's the reason we have the technologies we have now. If we had not had those crashes and we had not had Einstein, we would have been much further along because we were on an invention level that would have taken us to the sci-fi world in the early 60s. But they got rid of Tesla in the 20s and 30s. And then after just flatlined, we were just plateaued.
I think,
wow. Okay. So I understood a little bit of that. He uses words that I've never even heard before. So, I like the guy though. I like him a lot. I would love to talk to him. But the sci-fi model. So essentially we would already be on this, this new sci-fi world, back in the 60s, he said, if they wouldn't have taken out people. And so there's that. This guy's super duper intelligent. He's appearing on the Deep Woo Woo podcast or YouTube or Rumble channel. 73,000 followers on this Rumble channel. Jean-Claude, killing it. Killing it. But anyways... So that's a little bit of taste of the sci-fi world that Cliff believes. Maybe I'm misspeaking here, but I believe Cliff is saying that the ushering in of the sci-fi world will start because the precursor event of the Trump Rogan interview has happened. Now, Cliff, I don't believe, wants to say the 39 days. I think that's somebody else. I think it might've been Dick, but I believe that they're saying that this sci-fi world is now going to start really being ushered in, possibly starting tomorrow, not this big scale battle, but the normies, as he says, are going to start waking up and possibly tomorrow, the sci-fi world will start being ushered in a way that we haven't seen yet before. So look forward to that. Look forward to that. I got one more thing here with Cliff that I find very interesting that I don't believe has a direct connection to this Trump-Rogan prediction precursor event, but it certainly is sci-fi world-esque. Before we do that, though, we got ourselves somebody on the line, friends. We got somebody that popped in here, and we're going to bring them up here before we get to more Cliff. So we got, what's your name, man?
Alex.
Alex, how you doing, brother?
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, so that Cliff guy just said, no, the other guy. Talk about that Kali Yuga. I was listening to this guy named Ian Ferguson on, I forget whose show he was on. Anyways, he was saying right now we're dealing with this battle of Molochians versus Luciferians. And so when you look at Trump and Elon and how, so you look at this stuff and you go, oh man, Trump's a Luciferian. Oh man, Elon's a Luciferian. But really, that's good because we're going from the Molochian guys get all their energy from like pedo stuff or something. So we're going from like worse to bad, allegedly.
Be careful with that word, please.
The P word.
Thank you. Yeah. We're live. I personally think that neither is good, for the record.
All right.
But But I see the argument. What you're talking about is the lesser of two evils, essentially.
Right. And it's a real strange, like, this guy is super new agey and out to, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, but it's a super interesting because it gave me some positive hope. Because you go, now, I mean, I am a Christian, but you go, when you look at this stuff and you go, because everyone is so invested in Trump as being this white knight, you know, craziness, but then you go, but there's so much weirdness around it all, and you go, how do you rectify this? So, in my mind, now I don't get into the whole, you know, astrology, astronomy. I'm really confused on that stuff, but it was just so interesting because I think he's quasi right because all the Satanists and the Luciferian folks say 2025 is their year, you know, this Kali Yuga thing supposedly starts like March 31st or something, 2025. I don't know. I don't know. It's just interesting. But, and then something to do with that, back to the Chronovisor guy and the whole Project Looking Glass and all that stuff. The other, Cliff High, same guy, or the different guy. Anyways, he was saying something to do with they could look so far into the future and then some random event wouldn't allow it to see any farther or something like that.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before when you?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Was that Cliff High?
Who knows? I don't know. I listened to a whole bunch of different guys in reference to Looking Glass and whatever all those similar adjacent programs were. But yeah, they were all kind of saying, or I don't remember who said it. Anyways, because it was like Groundhog Day, you know, where they're trying to, he would try it a certain way and they would keep trying to do this stuff with, remote viewers or whatever. And then it would, they couldn't modify a certain thing. Now, I don't understand how any of that stuff works. I don't even know if I believe it right. But it's still, there's something going on. I mean, something's going on. I mean, we all know something's going on. I mean, now what, how much of it all is just BS and how much of it is just collective unconsciousness steering type of stuff? You know, if they could get everyone committed to rah, 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 yeah, Trump, you know, or I don't know, because it's just so unnatural, I feel.
Well, I think definitely I think a lot of people feel like, well, like what Cliff is saying. I mean, it's like we're living in sci-fi world. And if we're just beginning the stages of that, then my, we're up for a wild ride and hopefully I can keep up. But Alex, man, I'm going to let you go so I can keep this show moving. I appreciate you hopping on with me and sharing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. See you.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks, Alex, for hopping on. Let's actually kind of piggyback off of what Alex was saying and bring up this next one. And let me just pull this up here. Yes. Put that there. Now, this next one here, and let me just find the timestamp to 47:46. Okay. I got to move it to the 47:46 time mark. So we're pretty well into this whole thing. And it's an hour long video. And towards the end, he talks about this thing. I don't know how to pronounce the word, but it's a place. And what he is saying to me sounds like he's talking about like piercing realms and a land that is reminiscent of the Upside Down from Stranger Things. So I don't know. Let's give it a shot. Let me know what you think. All right. So there's Cliff and he's about to drop a name that I don't know. I can't remember what it's pronounced like. Here we go.
Anyway, and that references some of the Hurrian stuff, okay? And so what I wanted to get into was this concept of the Jadu, all right? Which is, I think, it's where we get the Jedi stuff from. But it's J-A-D-U. Now, it's a long vowel, and long you. Okay, so Jadu is a word that comes to us from Hurrian and comes all the way up to Farsi. And we have this word in Farsi now as Jadu Gar. Gar is a word that means, in Hurrian, it means doer in the body. It's a very interesting word, okay? Because Gar is not a person. Although nowadays, in some of these languages up in here, they just translated it as meant a person. And that was not what the Hurrians meant by that, okay? The Hurrians meant by that very specifically local consciousness, that which motivates the body. So the technical definition for the gar word is doer in the body, the person that, you know, the being that moves the body of the person into and doing all of the stuff, right? Because without that without local consciousness, there is no motive action. There's no movement or anything. Basically, you're dead or you're unconscious. Okay, so the Hurrians were very sophisticated this way. It's really striking. Okay, now it's not a mystery to me, because I know that they were coming from a much more advanced age and that we were all dropping down into the stupid years of the Kali Yuga down here. And so so Hurrian back in this, I bet you that the information we get out of Hurrian by way of Avestan and Sanskrit goes way back into the Golden Age and was part of a much, much more rich and sophisticated understanding. But anyway, so these primitive people, the Hurrian guys, had a very complex understanding of what we would think of as like metaphysical shit, okay? And in Hurrian, they defined a spot, a space, okay? It's not a place, or it is a place, and can also be thought of as a space, but it's not material. So for the Hurrians, okay, so let me say that in Farsi, and most of these top four languages from Old Persian onward, would define Jadugar or Yadugar, so Jadu, Jedi, you know, it would define them as a magician. That's not what the Hurrians meant by that word, okay? Because this was, because this, the Jadu, is a place. And I understand why these other languages define it that way, because Jadu is the place from which our concept of magic arises. Okay, so get this. The Jadu is the space, or it's the place immediately upon, on the other side of the life-death barrier. So it doesn't have a referential point. It's not like you can say it's over in that other room, right? But it very definitely exists, because you're going to go there and you're going to find it when you die, all right? Everybody does. And so Jadu Gar, the Jedi, are those doer in the body that, in the term of the Hurrians, are exploring this place on the other side of the life-death barrier. And they had it defined, okay? But it's not a definition. They had quite clearly defined it. And I actually think a lot of our understanding of meditation arises from these people. But anyway, they had it defined. And you can't, so in their culture, I'm imagining, because we don't have a ton of stuff from them, but I'm imagining that this thing is widespread enough that it appears in many different other languages, all referencing back to them, this concept. But I'm imagining that it was widespread enough that the word was, would be taken as a socially understood reference. So you could say, oh, you know, where's your cousin? Oh, he's thinking about doing a trip in the Jadu. And that would make sense to somebody, right? But anyway, the Jadugar were the people that explored this area on the other side of the life and death barrier. From my reading, I'm pretty convinced that that's the same place that I call hyperspace, that I explored with psychedelics. The Jadu Gar were defined as those people that had a space in time, okay? And that space was 33 hours. And so there's a lot of, we have 33 segments in our spine. The Freemasons and all these people get all bent out of shape about the number 33. David Wilcock goes crazy about it. All of these kind of people, right? It's supposedly a power number and this kind of thing. Anyway, though, so 33 hours after you died, you had to come back. Or you didn't come back. Okay, so there was no 34-hour Jadugar. All the Jadugar made it back within 33 hours. There's reasons to suspect you cannot come back if you're there longer than 33 hours for a lot of different reasons. But these people were mapping it out. They had an approach and a way of getting into hyperspace that either involves psychedelics or it involves something like, you know, self-suffocation or who the hell knows what kind of bizarre shit they were in. Or maybe it was because they were coming out of the more golden age and they had some kind of technology, some kind of machinery. In any event, though, so this idea of getting new forms of measurement, a new understanding of what is still currently thought of as Cartesian space, but getting a new understanding of that such that this understanding converts that complicated understanding of our three-dimensional space into a complexity is also tied in to all of this shit here, okay? I'm making some assumptions, and I'm making some assumptions relative to what I've read about the what these people did and what they went through, and the fact that this has a particular language history, and all of this stuff coming up relative to the TM and the melee with the UFOs, right? And I'm relating all those together, and coming up to this forecast that goes way back into the 2009, also was reaffirmed in 2019, and was actually, we were able to, I think it was probably 2017, and we were able to apply a descriptor to it that made some sense, okay? So along with the melee and all this other stuff going on, the visible contention, and then whatever the hell is happening here on the planet, somewhere, on Earth, a human or a group of humans, or maybe it's already been done and we'll find out about it in that period of time, they're going to discover this like intergalactic interweb, okay? So in other words, they will discover that there's communications going on constantly around us, and to a certain extent, what we think of as Akashic records may be a concept that could be applied to vast galactic civilizations talking to themselves and to each other and putting data out in a particular space that is, in my opinion, I think it's transiting through hyperspace. I think that comes into it. But anyway, we'll discover this level of communications. And I'm of the opinion, I've got a couple of quick opinions that are going to annoy people, but I'm of the opinion that our...
All right, you guys can finish watching this some other time. Because listen, this is like an hour. You ever watch one of those videos where it's like, it's so jam-packed with information that the hour goes by super fast. You look at your watch like, man, I don't have another hour, but I want to go back and watch that for another hour. And then you do it. And then after that, you're like, okay, we're going to pick that back up again tomorrow. I'm going to do it a third time. That is what this video is. So you guys can have fun with that for sure. I'll try to remember to add the links to the description. No promises. No promises. Please don't email complaining that I didn't add the links. If I forget, I forget. They're on video here. Do some sleuthing. You'll figure it out. I figured it out. You can too. So to me, Jadugar sounds like he's describing a place that people go and explore. They have a time limit on how long they can be there before they can't make it back. That sounds a lot like a lot of things. Like you could go with the upside down. But you could also go with the astral projection idea of things when it comes to people going out of body, astral projecting, the silver cord, and the idea that the silver cord can get cut Therefore, if your silver cord gets cut, you cease to exist. You die. What if exploring Jadugar is something that is reminiscent of something like that, where after 33 hours, your silver cord is stretched so thin, it just evaporates? I don't know. I've never astral projected. I certainly hope to never astral project unless God has preordained it. And I'm still asking the Lord, pass that cup on to somebody else, please. I ain't trying to drink from that one. I just want to stay in my body. I just want to stay in my body, Lord. Pass that one on. All right. So sci-fi world is upon us, according to Cliff. We got 39 days left till all craziness breaks loose in the skies and lasers are shooting at other things, shooting lasers, and our primitive weapons are trying our best to keep up in the battles. And we got this pretty cool video here for you from our newly elected president for the second time, Donald Trump. Let me stop this screen share here and share the screen again. There we go. So there he is. There he is. Freeze frame that face. It's a funny looking face. All right. So speaking of sci-fi world is upon us. And we got the guy who's taken the White House for the second time in 8 years. Talking about future technology and possibly flying cars. Let's take a listen to what Donald J. Trump has to say about such things.
Another big opportunity is in transportation. Dozens of major companies in the United States and China are racing to develop vertical takeoff and landing vehicles for families and individuals. Just as the United States led the automotive revolution in the last century, I want to ensure that America, not China, leads this revolution in air mobility. These breakthroughs can transform commerce, bring a giant infusion of wealth into rural America, and connect families and our country in new ways.
So U.S.-based car makers and manufacturers will also be rewarded.
If I heard that in 2016, if I heard that in 2015, I would be like, come on, bull crap. But this guy's already been in the White House and he started a whole new branch of our military called Space Force. And he's hanging out with the likes of Elon Musk. That seems like it has Elon Musk's name all over it. So listen, I don't have a Tesla. I'm not a big fan of self-driving vehicles right now, at least. I reserve the right to change my mind, but I'm not a big fan of what Elon's doing with the Teslas and, you know, the self-driving vehicles. I hear too many conspiracies that you know, these things are driving into other vehicles and they're taking off and you have no control over them and they're glitching. Listen, man. Listen. I'm going to stay in my F-150. Good old dinosaur fuel. And I'm just going to ride that one out, you know? So when it comes to vertical takeoff vehicles for families, I'm not into it. I'm not into it. I'm the guy that used to be really scared to fly. Now I've been flying so much in the last year to 2 years that not scared anymore, but not a huge fan either. Now the idea that I could have my own flying vehicle and be in control of it makes me a little bit more comfortable than getting on a plane, to be honest with you, because I got trust issues. Captain, what were you doing last night? Were you drinking? What were you and the stewardess doing? Huh? Gonna interrogate the captain before he takes that plane off. I wanna know how aware you are, sir. But me? If I could fly my own vehicle, I'm more on board with that than flying on a commercial plane, to be honest with you. But I'm less on board with that than driving a Tesla. So that's like the rankings. We got Ford F-150 on dinosaur fuel, electric Tesla that runs into vehicles and crashes at random, flying personal vehicle that I keep in my driveway and take my family to dinner in Connecticut anytime I want, commercial planes. Way, 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 way down on that list. Don't trust them. Boeing, sorry. Don't trust you. What do you guys think? You guys want that vertical takeoff vehicle? Be more expeditious in your commutes to work? Maybe these vertical takeoff vehicles will go and they'll be self-propelled. You don't have to even fly them. You can smack the kids in the back seat for yelling too much or something. You can eat your bowl of cereal safely. Oh, alarm's going off. I'm supposed to be at church in 25 minutes. But yes, maybe you could let that thing fly itself. You get there faster and you get to eat your cereal without driving with your knees. I think I'm talking myself into this. Friends. Wow. We're living in sci-fi world. We just are. Anybody my age or older, even younger. I mean, listen, let me think here. Space Force 20, what was that? 2018, 2017, something like that. So anybody who was probably born, let's just say the year 2000 and under, later, this is sci-fi world. This wasn't supposed to exist when you were born and when you were growing up as a kid. Here we are. We're talking about driving vehicles that already are happening, rockets being caught by robots off of the ocean, flying vehicles like the Jetsons. Man, wild times, wild times. It's only going to get crazier. I'm here for it. I wonder what the world's going to be like when my kids are of driving age. My son's going to be turning 7 very soon. Wow. So he's 9 years away from driving. Is he 9 years away from flying a vehicle? Not in my house. No. Not in my house. We're going to keep that on lock, just like social media. No flying vehicles. No Instagram till you're 18. And for my daughter, you ain't getting married till I'm dead. I'm the only man that's allowed to love you. Wild times. I hope you guys are ready for this, though. I think it's going to get really, really crazy over the next five. What year are we? About to turn 20. Yeah, let's just say the next 5 years. So by the time we get to 2030, buckle up. It's going to get bonkers. It's going to get bonkers. And many of you are ready for it. Many of you are ready for it. I am. I was reading, I'm still reading. There's a book, Return of the Gods by Jonathan Kahn. The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Kahn. And in the second chapter of that book, if you're an OG listener of the Confessionals podcast and you share my theological perspectives, you read that second chapter of that book and you will put it down and run around your room out of just pure energy because you've been saying, and finally somebody's confirming. You've been saying. That's what happened to me. I had to read the chapter like 2 times before I could move on because I was missing half the stuff because I was just like, what? Crazy, crazy book. Return of the Gods by Jonathan Kahn. Check it out. I don't know. Maybe we'll have Jonathan Kahn on the show one day. Maybe we'll bring him in studio. That'd be fun. I don't know if he does studio visits. He's a pretty busy guy from what I hear. So we shall see. But things are getting crazy. Where's that last one? I have one more thing for you guys. At least I thought I did. Oh, here it is. It's already on this computer. So this is, I saved this for last because it's a little off target. Okay. It's a little off target. This is not something that is really talking about what we just talked about for the last hour and a half, but a little bit. Who wants to talk about portals in Detroit? Yeah, I know you do. Let's do this. Share this screen, Instagram. Let me do this. Refresh.
In portal for the local principalities. Now, if you saw my last video, you know about the stones and what I mentioned about the rituals. Look what it's called. Transcending. Come on, guys. Really? Do I have to explain this? Now, I actually came here before and I prayed standing here. I'm going to show you. Right there. You know what happened? My feet started burning when I saw, because I was praying against this thing. But look, watch this. Look at this. Look at these hands. Fallen ones. Now, I know they're going to tell you that it's supposed to represent certain things, but all this stuff has spiritual symbology to it. And all these stones, it's the channel energy. It's big part of a big old ritual. Giant portal. All right,
so...
for the local principalities.
There we go.
Now, if you saw my...
All right, cool. So I don't know. I thought it was an interesting video. I'm not saying it's a portal or anything like that. That guy's probably, I don't know, on planet 9, 10, 15. I don't know. But I found it interesting. It looks kind of portally, and the swirls and all that stuff. So, you know. Portals to Jadugar? Is that how you pronounce it? Jagar? Jadugar. Portals to Jadugar. What do you think? Samuel Lofton, thanks for the super chat, friend. Thanks for the super chat. Tina says, okay, where is your proof? Come on, Tina. It's a video. How are you going to prove it? Touch grass, Tina, and have fun. Thanks for the super chat, though, man. And let's give a shout out here to Vanessa Mitchell for becoming a channel member. Shout out to Vanessa Mitchell for becoming a channel member. And, professional YouTube watcher. Well, you found the right place. You found the right place, professional YouTube watcher. Thanks for becoming a channel member here on the Confessionals YouTube channel. I just found out last time I broadcast with you guys that I can actually, like, the StreamYard actually separates the comments from the super chats and the member stuff. So I can give proper shout outs. So thanks for all the love and support, guys. On this channel. And, you know, listen, this is a weird Wednesday and I don't know if I relayed the message very well to you guys. I feel kind of dead inside. I feel like, I failed you on this broadcast. I had a much higher, opinion of how this was going to come out of my mouth when I started the broadcast. And, here we are, bringing it in for a landing. And I hope we relayed, some interesting food for thought for you. It's weird Wednesday. We're not trying to break mathematical formulas. We're just trying to chill and relax a little bit and get through the week. I mean, how many of you guys were up late last night? You know, oh, look at that. Colleen Bowman. I haven't seen you in a while. How you doing, Colleen? She said, you did fine, Tony. Thank you very much. Thank you. Look at that love and support from everybody. I appreciate this. So, you know, we were up a little late last night. I should say we, as in me, my wife went to bed at like 1, but, you know, I just couldn't stop watching. I was watching, Larry Ragland from The Big Picture, on YouTube last night. Shout out to Larry Ragland. He did a live broadcast for, I think, like 7 or 8 hours. And I just rode with him for a while, just watching it in and out. I was popping around, but Larry does a good job. I like him. He's a good dude. He's a pastor down in Birmingham, Alabama. Good people over there. So, but yeah, I was up until about 3:00, 3:30 in the morning, and then I'm laying on the couch, turned off the TV, and this thought crossed my mind. You know, if I go in the bedroom right now and lay down that bed, my wife is going to roll over in a pitch black room. She's going to roll over and stare at me with those red bloodshot eyes because she's tired. Those things are going to be glowing in the dark, piercing through my soul. Yeah, I wasn't trying to do that. So I just slept on the couch. I just slept on the couch. I was not trying to get the look from my wife for trying to sneak into the bed at night without waking her up. Wasn't going to do that. So I slept on the couch. I finally fell asleep probably around 3:30-ish. Woke up at 6:30. Got ready, was out the house by 7:15, and here we are. Here we are, winding it down. I'm going to get out of here. I'm probably not going to be going to church now. Missed Bible study this week. We're starting to go through the book of Revelation in Wednesday night Bible studies. And, you know, the book of Revelation is a book that I never totally understood. I don't know if anybody really truly has a firm grasp on it. Like people who are like, oh, I know. But then like you have somebody else saying something completely different, you know? And my situation is this. I've always found myself in a situation where I hear different opinions on topics that I don't personally understand fully to begin with. And so I'm like, well, if you guys can't agree, where does that leave me? And so I just kind of try to live life humbly and just understand I'm not going to know everything. I'm not going to know everything. And that's okay. Well, friends, let's start bringing some music in here. Kind of do it softly for you. What do you say? Some lo-fi music. I'm starving. I haven't eaten anything today except for a bag of... And what were some cashews? What were they? Almonds. Bag of almonds. A little baggie of almonds. Pretty hungry right now. Yeah. Well, that's another weird Wednesday, friends. Not a wake up, but it's a weird Wednesday. And I hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully helped you pass some time. Some new food for thought, maybe. You know, maybe you picked up some information that you didn't know before, or maybe like you're like me, you never heard of Cliff High before, and you're like, ooh, this guy sounds interesting. Let me dig. Dig on Cliff. I saw somebody in the chat a while ago say that sometimes he's kind of a hit and miss with interviews. So maybe one day, you know? I don't know. But listen. This episode is brought to you by MerkMerch.com. That's MerkMerch.com. Go ahead and get your Merk merch. New designs. We got this one here. The alien hand. Six fingers like the logo. Got the hat, you know, and hoodies coming soon. Hoodies coming soon. The Always on the Hunt Bigfoot t-shirt, the number one seller by far, is going to be a hoodie. And I hope you enjoy it when it comes out. So, I'm thinking it should be here in time for Christmas. Because we have everything printed up and made and then warehoused so that when you guys order it, we can have somebody just go pick it off the shelf and, ship it out to you. I'm thinking as long as I get it in by the second, get it on the shelves by the first or second week of December, we should be good with you guys getting it for Christmas. Also, community note, PSA, the last 2 weeks of this year, we are going to have guest hosts of the show once again. And then the first week of 2025, we are going to have a guest host of the show as well. I am taking a 3-week breather. That way Jack can travel to Pennsylvania and visit family for the holidays, and you guys still get quality content. So look forward to that. We got some good people lined up to guest host, and yeah, it's gonna be a good time. So looking forward to having that breather. I appreciate you guys tuning in and hanging out with us, and I'm gonna get out of here. Peace.
It's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright. It's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.